Amen. He is risen. Amen, church. He is risen. And we are here because of that hope. I want to welcome you if you're a first-time guest here. We know many of you are here. We'd love to say hi to you. At the worship center, we have a gift that we want to give to you. You can also get decals, magnets there, and throw them on your relative's car, and they can take that with them wherever they go, right? Alabama, Georgia, Illinois, whatever. And so we're just so happy to have you. On top of that, we're super excited to have all those who are joining us online. Can we just welcome all those who are joining us online today? We're great to have you. Happy Easter, everybody. And on top of that, we want you to know, we've had a lot of services here, but I want to say this from the bottom of my heart. By far, you are the best looking service, okay, we've had so far. I mean, we had some good challengers, but you guys, look at you, all right? So get a photo of yourself before you leave, all right? There's a photo area. We would love to for you to do that with your family. You can post that. It'd just be a lot of fun to spread the word about Easter. On top of that, we here at RCC want to win people, train believers, unleash disciples. And our training happens in community. I want you to know about an opportunity that launches next week called CORE 201. And that's where many of us that are growing in the Lord, whether we just started growing in the Lord, I just gave our life to Christ, or, you know, we've been walking with the Lord, but it's been a while. We need some next steps. I'm going to encourage you to go to CORE 201, which launches next week during our 10 a.m. service. So many people go to other services, then they go to CORE at 10 a.m. So I want to encourage you with that. You're like, okay, I missed 101. Do I jump into 201? Absolutely. 201 is a perfect time to jump in and grow with the Lord in community. So I want to encourage you with that. That launches next week. You know, one thing about having a child is when you have a little baby, there's a lot of hope with that, isn't there? When you have that baby. Here's a photo of my firstborn, Cameron. She's beautiful. This is when she was born. Now she's a woman, and but here she is, and there's a dog butt in the background. I'm not sure why we didn't edit that out, but there you go. That was a great dog, by the way. But anyway, and then this is my studly second-born, first-born son. His name's Rylan. You can see him there with my mom. And on top of that, here's River, handsome River, the last of the family tribe of the Freemans. You know, it's interesting when you have a baby, right? You have a lot of hope. I always wonder when I look at this next photo of this guy right here, what his parents are wondering what he's going to grow up to be like, because he's a pretty intense little booger is what I call him. You know, maybe he'll grow up to be like a military hero, like a special ops kind of guy. Maybe that's what he'll do. Or maybe he'll grow up to be like a respectable person like Hulk Hogan. Who would love to have a Hulk Hogan as a kid? That would be a blast. Nobody would mess with you. And then maybe he'll like a lot of loud music and be a rock star and wear makeup or something like that. Or maybe he'll be a wise person and people go to him with questions. He'll be a wise guru and people go to him for counsel. Or how about he'll be more of a compassionate soul, more of a sensitive guy like Shrek. Maybe that's what he'll end up being. Well, you know, we have these hopes for these kids. And here's the thing about human beings is we are irrepressible hopers. Hope is why, you know, kids go nuts during Easter egg hunts. Hope is why investors buy stocks and real estate. Hope is why entrepreneurs start businesses or students go to college. Hope is why we set a goal every single January to lose 20 pounds. And here we are in April. We only have 30 more pounds to go, right? But do you remember the day when you discovered life wasn't turning out the way quite like you had hoped? Maybe it hit you when you experienced a terrifying diagnosis. Maybe all of a sudden it led to, you know, being attached to an IV and all of a sudden a hospital bed like some people are watching right now online. Or maybe for you, it hit you in the form of divorce or maybe financial crisis. Maybe you thought you'd be married by now, have a family by now, have a baby by now, and it hasn't quite turned out that way. Maybe you thought, I'm going to get my degree, and then you did. No one hired. You probably had it all planned out in your mind, like how it was going to go. I'm going to find the perfect spouse, the perfect house, the 2.3 kids, and I'm going to have the perfect job. And all of a sudden, you grow up, nobody grows up thinking, you know what, I'm going to grow up and go to college and get a mountain of debt, and then no one hires me. Or I'm going to get cancer at age 41. I'll be fired at age 56. Nobody plans to be alone and depressed at age 30 or divorced twice by age 45. Nobody thinks, you know, their son or daughter is going to grow up and go to prison. Many of you find yourself in a dark place. Maybe it's financial darkness, health, family, marriage, mental, emotional health darkness, career darkness, wondering if God's so good, why is life so hard? And one thing about Easter is that Easter is not a one-day story. It's actually a three-day story. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's a beginning, middle, end, a death, burial, resurrection. Another way of saying it is distress, darkness, and then deliverance. Good Friday had left the followers of Jesus Christ when he died angry, confused, upset, afraid, shocked, distressed, and they witnessed Jesus breathe his last breath, and all of their hopes and all of their dreams died with Jesus that day. Same thing would have happened to you if you would have been with Jesus for those 3 years, watching him preach like no one else has ever preached, watching him get baptized. You're sitting there on the edge of the Jordan River and you see him go in the water, come out of the water, and all of a sudden a voice from heaven says, "This is my son with whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Can you imagine sitting during that storm on that lake and the boat is rocking and it's so violent, you're thinking, "We're dead. This is it. Life over." But then all of a sudden Jesus walks out in the bow of the boat and he says to the wind and the waves, "Peace. Be still." And immediately the wind stops and the waves just turn to glass. And you're watching this and you're thinking, who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Can you imagine lining the streets of Jerusalem on that day, this same man, this good man, this kind man, the man who touched the untouchable, who embraced the sinners, stood up for the oppressed, who helped victims of injustice, is beaten and led up to a hill to be crucified. Like a criminal. Imagine listening to him say the last words that came out of his mouth. "It is finished, tetelestai. What I came to do has been done." If Good Friday is a day of distress, then Saturday is a day of darkness for all who knew and loved Jesus. The Bible says that a man, Joseph Arimathea, went to Pilate to get the body of Jesus. And look what it says in Luke chapter 23. "Then he took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in a long sheet of linen cloth." John's gospel makes it clear that they would take the cloth and they would dip it and saturate it in like 5 gallons of oil to temper the smell of the decomposing body. And you'd wrap it around that body like you'd wrap a sprained ankle. And it says, "And it laid it in a new tomb that had been carved out of stone. This was done late on Friday afternoon, the day of preparation, as the," say it with me, church, "as the" what? "As the Sabbath was about to begin." Sabbath is Saturday. It's interesting, it's a three-day story, and yet Saturday, right there in the middle, is very rarely mentioned. And it's kind of a big gap of time. I mean, the sun goes down from that time on Friday till the sun comes up on Sunday morning. The Jesus followers are waiting, feeling more hopeless and more helpless and more in the dark than they have felt their entire lives during that time. Saturday is a day when hope is dead and life is dark. Many of you remember Mel Blanc. He was the voice for a lot of the Looney Tunes characters like Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and Porky Pig. And at the end of every Looney Tunes cartoon, Porky Pig would bust through the curtain and Porky Pig would say what? He would say, "That's all, folks." All right, you guys are very spiritual. All right, anyway, so that's all, folks. That's what he'd say, meaning show's over, time to go home. No lie. Mel Blanc, his family, when he died, his family had written on his tombstone, guess what? "That's all, folks." In fact, on that Saturday, for the followers of Jesus Christ, that's what they believed. They believed, "That's all, folks. Show's over. Hope is dead. Life is dark. Jesus is gone forever." And when people lose their hope, man, they lose their ability to dream in the future, don't they? When spouses lose hope, they give up on their marriage. When parents lose hope, they give up on their kids. When leaders lose hope, they give up on their people. See, the reason why Easter was so good that Sunday was because Saturday was so bad. As far as they knew, there's only one day, when I think about it, only one day in the last 2,000 years when literally not one person on planet Earth believed that Jesus was alive, and it was on that Saturday. On Saturday, we don't find one single person placing bets on Jesus rising up from the dead. The disciples of Jesus are in total meltdown mode. On Saturday, Mary Magdalene was not pondering, "I wonder what I should wear for Easter Sunday this year. I wonder if hats are in this year." No, She's wondering, or Mary Magdalene is wondering and planning on bombing Jesus on Sunday, not talking to him. Now, you know, I've been a pastor for 25 years now. I started when I was at the age of 8. And I've discovered that there's three causes for people lose hope. The three causes are their past and their present and their future. That's it. You lose hope, you look at somebody's past, you look at the present, you look at the future. It's one of the three. Sometimes it can be all three. For some of you, the thing that has you in the dark right now is your past. I hear confession is kind of good for the soul, so let's kind of do a mass confession. I'm going to go through a whole series of categories, and in the end, in one big mass confession, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if any of these categories apply to you. So wait till the end to raise your hand if any of these categories apply to you, okay? If you've ever failed in your life, you ever got cut from a team, you tried out for something and you didn't make it, you auditioned and you didn't get it, if you went out for a job and you got declined, or maybe you thought you were going to get promoted that you would hope to get promoted and you didn't get the promotion, or you're involved in a business that didn't quite live up to all its hopes and dreams and goals, if you've ever lost your cool with a two-year-old, if you've ever slept during a sermon that you wish you actually would have stayed awake for, or if you ever stayed awake in a sermon you wish you would have slept through, happens a lot here. If you've ever experienced moral failure, academic failure, maybe athletic, relational, marital failure, financial, spiritual, or vocational failure of any kind, raise your hand right now if you've experienced any of those failures. Doesn't that feel good? All right. Now, how many of you would say, I personally have never failed, but the person next to me looks like they've gone south a few times? Like, okay, some of you are sitting next to that person, okay. My point is this, no matter how good we look on Easter Sunday, every single one of us is wrestling with some degree of failure from our past. It could be regret, it could be guilt, it could be shame. And a lot of times it keeps us in the dark. Others of us, if we're honest, the wounds that we have is the unspeakable things people have said to us from our past. Or maybe did to us emotionally or physically that has endlessly complicated your life in the right here, right now. For others of us, the challenging circumstances that are not in the past, but actually right here, presently going on right now. It's the unfulfilling job that we're kind of stuck in. It's the loveless marriage, the physical limitations, the health concerns you feel powerless over right now. Maybe it's the spending, the drinking, the gambling, the substance addiction that you have no control with right now. Many of you are living in a Saturday experience presently. They walked out on you. The treatment isn't working. The savings are gone. You've been betrayed. And you don't know if you can trust someone ever again. Or maybe it's not the present. Maybe what's going on right now with you, you're in a dark place because your fear of the future. You know, there's a number one fear people have, they say, the fear that people have more than anything else is public speaking. That's number one. Number two is death. Number one, public speaking. Number two, fear is death. Number three is death while public speaking, which has happened to me a few times. Death may not be your number one, but I guarantee it's up there somewhere. People don't like to think about it. People don't want to talk about it. But the last I checked here in Fleming Island and Clay County and Northeast Florida and around the world, right now the death rate, get this, is hovering right at 100%. A friend of mine died tragically in Middleburg. He's a mentor of mine a few years ago. And he is buried at the cemetery that actually RCC started at. We started in a cemetery. You may not know that about our history. It's kind of weird, but we're weird people. So I was walking to that cemetery. I saw my friend's tombstone. And if you walk through a cemetery, you'll see some interesting things. Sometimes people make it all the way to 100 years old. And sometimes a child dies way too soon. At age 33, death came for Jesus. And the next day, day two, was a day of darkness, a day that hope was dead. But guess what? Easter is a three-day story, right? It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's distress, darkness, deliverance. Look what it says in Luke chapter 24. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb taking spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. And so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. And the women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. And then the men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. Say it with me, church. He is risen from the dead. Remember what, say it with me, he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the what? On the third day. Notice that phrase right there. Jesus had told them. He predicted that this would happen on the third day, that he would rise on the third day, that this is a third day story. Think about it. On that third day in that tomb, inside that darkness, the heart of Jesus begins to beat. And all of a sudden, the lungs start to inflate with air, and the eyes that were closed on the cross begin to open in that dark grave, and the limp nail pierced hand straightened in the dark, and the blood that was crushed, that body that was crushed, all of a sudden starts gaining strength there in the grave. And guess what, church? He walked out of that grave. Why? Because Jesus Christ is alive. Can we give God the praise for that fact? He's alive. And that's why he's a hope in our darkness. That's why he's a forgiver of all of our sins. That's why he's a conqueror of death. Jesus Christ is the Lord of lords. He's a King of kings. And the message of Easter is God, listen, does some of his best work in the darkest seasons of our lives, doesn't he? He does some of his best work when we feel like it's over. And even in the darkness, we know and we believe God is working all things out for the good of those who love him. He's working even though we can't see it sometimes. I want to share with you, one of our brothers right here, Brian White's going to come up. He's going to share his story with you about how God came and found him in his darkest moment.
Unresolved anger leads to resentment. When we carry anger too long, it doesn't just weigh us down. It gives the enemy a foothold. Ephesians 4:27 says, "Do not give the devil a foothold." The devil doesn't always show up in dramatic ways. Sometimes he comes in quietly through wounds we haven't healed from, through whispers we mistake for truth. And he's the father of lies. I believe the enemy started coming after me early in life. I went through abuse as a child, and even though I was later adopted by my grandparents, the damage had already been done. That early pain shaped the way I viewed the world and relationships. The enemy whispered lies. You're not wanted. People always leave. If you don't prove your worth, you'll be abandoned. Years later, I got married for the first time, and that marriage ended in betrayal and divorce. And I told myself, I'll never let anyone hurt me again. So I buried the pain, and I let it turn into anger. And that anger became a tool that I used to protect myself. But in trying to protect myself, I also hurt the people I love, especially my wife, Cassie. We've had communication struggles, and I know a lot of my reactions come from those old wounds. When I feel overwhelmed, I lose self-awareness, and I react instead of respond. And that's how the devil works. He plants lies, stirs confusion. And if we don't deal with it, it only grows. Over a year ago, I hit a low point. I was hospitalized for suicidal thoughts. I'd lost hope. I'd lost my way. That moment reminded me just how real this battle is. Not just around us, but within us. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Satan wants to steal our joy, kill our hope, destroy our faith, but Jesus came so that we might have life. Not to just survive, but to truly live. I've also learned this. Being vulnerable is not weakness, it's strength. As a Marine, I was trained to hide emotion. Mission first, there's no time for feelings. That mindset doesn't translate into healing. It doesn't help in marriage. It doesn't help in faith. As men, and as people really, We're often taught to just push through it, but we weren't meant to fight alone. The enemy is stronger than we are, but he's no match for God. And here's what I want you to remember this Easter morning. I'm still in God's hands. I'm not giving up. I'm not finished. God is still working on me, and that's only because of Jesus Christ. Even in the dark moments, I still have hope. Even when I struggle, I know God is with me. Even when I fall short, I know he hasn't let go. To see all that I've been through and still have hope, that's not me. That's Jesus. And if he can do that for me, he can do that for you too. Because of Jesus, we have hope. Because of the resurrection, we're not forgotten. We are not finished. And the enemy does not get the last word.
Amen. Amen. Good job, brother. Good job. Takes a lot of strength to do that. And for many of us, we're in a dark place, maybe where Brian was. It might take weeks, might take months, but you just keep coming back, because I promise you, you're going to get a breakthrough. See, the problem with a third-day story is you don't know it's a third-day story until the third day, right? I mean, Brian didn't know that he was on a third-day story until the third day. And when Friday and Saturday are happening in his life, as far as Brian knows, deliverance is never going to come. Light is never going to come in my darkness. So let me ask you this question. Is it possible that your story is a third-day story and you're only on day two right now? Encourage you, don't give up. Do you remember the Chilean miners that were stuck 2,000 feet below the ground? There's 33 of them. They had about 700 tons of rock that kind of collapsed on them. And the movie 33 tells a story. Maybe you've seen it. The miners were not trapped for a day or 2 days or a week or 10 days or 20 or 30 or 50 days. They were trapped for over 68 days, over 2 months, 68 days in the darkness. And during that time, when no one knew what the outcome would be, one of the miners was not about to give up hope in the dark. And so he sent a message to his pregnant wife. She was pregnant with their very first child, a baby girl, and they had planned to name her Carolina. But out of the darkness of that cave, he sent a message to his wife. He says, oh no, her name will be Esperanza, which for all my Spanish-speaking amigos knows it means hope. Esperanza means hope. Hope was alive in the darkness, and he clung to it, and eventually hope broke through in the form of a 21-inch diameter tube, and all the miners were rescued. On Sunday early morning, that Easter morning, on the third day, hope broke through the darkness in the form of the risen Savior, Son of God, Jesus Christ. In fact, whatever darkness you have faced, whether it's present or in the past or in the future, Jesus declares these words over you from John chapter 8. Look what he says. I am, Jesus says, the what? The light of the world. If you do what? If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the what? The light that leads to life. You can have light in your darkness. You can have a third day story, but there's a catch. Did you see it? If you follow Jesus. If you follow him. Just like the only hope for those miners was when they were buried 2,000 feet under the ground in the darkness, was that 21-inch tube. Jesus is your only hope out of your darkness. He's your only hope. And I've been praying for this Easter and what I believe God wants to do with many of your hearts this year. I've been praying that many of you would decide to follow Jesus, the light of the world, by putting your faith in him and trusting him in faith, but also in getting baptized. We have a baptism week next week. We're so excited about that. If you've never had that experience, I encourage you to do that. Maybe somebody else had you do that, but you didn't choose it for yourself. You need to choose that for yourself. So go to riverchristian.church. In all four of our services, we're going to have baptisms. And our Thursday night, 7 p.m., if you're like, I can't be here on Sunday, do it on Thursday at 8:30, 10 o'clock, 11:30. Here's the thing about baptism. You see the death, burial, and the resurrection. In baptism, I say, you know what? I'm dying to myself. I am now alive in Jesus Christ. I'm going to be buried in the water. And guess what? What we do with everybody when we bury them in the water, we always resurrect them. Okay, we have never lost one single person in baptism. We always resurrect them. So you die to yourself, you're buried, and you are resurrected. That's what Romans chapter 6 says. We unite in the death, burial, and resurrection. We get baptized. And if you've never had experience, I encourage you to do that. And it will baptize anyone age 8 or above. If they're younger than that, they need to go through the curriculum that's on that site, riverchristian.church/baptism. Great thing, parents, for any of your kids who are underneath the age of 15. I would say underneath the age of 18. Take that, download that packet and walk with your kids through this. We really want our parents to be the missionaries to their kids. And we want to equip you. And that's one of the ways we do that. So walk with your kids through this, especially if you got a little one. But if they're younger than 8, they're going to need to meet with our kids ministry this week before baptism week. But my question to you this Easter, instead of Easter being a destination like it is for so many, what if Easter is a launching pad? What if Easter, instead of it being a period, is a comma for you to continue your journey with Jesus Christ? What if you came and continue to walk with us over the next several weeks as we go into the Weeds in My Garden series, talking about mental and emotional health? Because here's the thing. Many of you right now are struggling, just like Brian was. And you need some help, and you need some hope in the name of Jesus. And God's going to give that to us as we continue the series that we're starting back next week. We hope you join us. Some of you are like, I'm fine. I don't need this. Let me tell you something. Someone you love dearly does. And we could train you. We could equip you so you could provide help and hope in their life. Somebody close to you is really struggling and you need to help them. And that's what this series is all about. So we hope that you come and you join with us in this. I don't want to minimize your challenges, whether your challenges are happening right now or tomorrow or the next day. The promise is for everyone who puts their trust and puts their faith in Jesus is this: there's always hope. There's always hope. Even when it feels like checkmate in your life, like Brian, it feels like he's at the end of his rope. He's got no other options. Guess what? With King Jesus, there's always one more move. Always one more move. This is a 3-day story, not a 1-day, not a 2-day story. Hope is not based on something, by the way. Hope is based on someone. And that is why you can have hope in the midst of all the somethings that bring so much crisis in your life. One more passage I want to share from Paul in Ephesians chapter 1. He says these words, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who, what? Believe him. This is the, say it with me, church, the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Did you notice the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead is available to any of us in our Saturday circumstances of life? But my question is it available to all of us? And the answer is actually no. It's available to those who believe. Hope comes only to those who believe. That's the key. You've got to put your faith in Jesus. You've got to believe that Jesus is the Lord of all and that he's the Savior of all your sins. You've got to accept Jesus as the King of your life. And so I've been praying for this Easter. I've been praying for this moment, praying that many of you would say yes to Jesus Christ and put your hope in the risen Savior. Some of you have had a nerve struck today, like I was speaking straight to you. I've had people tell me, it was like you were looking right at me. I'm like, well, I didn't know you were here, so. Some of you are like, it's like you got cameras in my house. Let me tell you what's going on. It's no accident you're here this Easter. It's no accident. You don't need something else. You need someone. You need Jesus Christ in your life. Today could be a whole new start for you. Some of you have gotten off track. Life has happened. You've gone your own way for far too long. It's time for you to come home. It's time for you to come home to loving arms of your Heavenly Father. He's waiting on you. This could be the day that changes everything for you. Today could be the beginning of your third day story. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be great for those of you who want to say yes to Jesus on this third day? If you want to say yes to Jesus and you want him in your life, or you want him in your life again, this could be the day that changes that for you. Don't downplay this. Don't dismiss this. This could be the most sacred and important moment of your life, like it was for me. Some of you grew up in church, but your relationship with God was never real. You're not a Christian just because you go to church. You have to personally make a commitment to Jesus. You got to make it real. You have to make an authentic connection to Jesus Christ. If you want to experience the hope of Easter, if you want to have the same power, that resurrection power flowing through your veins, no matter how dark it gets, you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So I'm going to ask you right now to close your eyes, everybody. Bow your head. And if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to repeat after me. If you want to come back to Jesus, I want you to repeat after me. Father, I know I sin. I can't save myself. Thank you for loving me enough to send Jesus, who never sinned, to take my place on the cross so that I could be forgiven and I could gain eternity in heaven. I believe in Jesus. I believe that he is the Son of the living God. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I give Jesus my life. And Father, I commit to following you today and every day until I see your face in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. The whole church said, amen. Can we give God the praise for those who prayed that prayer right now? All heaven's rejoicing. Amen. Hey, I want to encourage you to stand right now. Please stand. Here's the thing about when you give your life to Jesus Christ, if you've just prayed that prayer, your next step when you believe is baptism. It's like peanut butter and jelly, baby. They go together, all right? Peanut butter and jelly. Baptism, belief, they go together. If you believe your next step is baptism, go to riverchristian.church/baptism and make that commitment. And next week is going to be one of the best weeks of your life. Hey, by the way, this is a 3-day story, but actually this is a 2-week message, okay? We hope you'll come back next week because we're going to talk about how do I handle it when life doesn't go as I had planned it? Like, how do I handle discouragement? We're going to take a deep dive into that, and I promise it'll be a blessing for you. Right now, we're going to worship together. Our prayer team is at the crosses on your right and on your left, and they're there for you. If you need to pray about anything, they would love to pray about you. So please go to the cross in just a moment while we're worshiping. Right now, let's give our only one living hope, Jesus Christ, a round of applause right now. Can we praise him? Please come right now as we worship him together.